Frescor Praça.
That's our intro.
One, two.
One, two. One, two.
Testing. One, two.
One, two. One, two. I hate that. Anyway. Mornings and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where we talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
No, I'm Jerry.
Yeah, that was slick. I've been fucking it up for the vlog for the past two. The
you
past few
any
sessions.
Intros.
My intros have been erratic, is I would say. Yeah.
But much like your personality.
Yeah, yeah. Look.
Much like.
It's at least it's not boring, Jody.
Keep it exciting, man. It's
that's
fresh.
What we do. So yeah, we're back like a heart attack. Because there's four chambers and we are now on the
second and a half
chamber. So we still got another half and two.
One and a half.
One and a half to go. Yeah. Fractions, my favorite. Yo, I'm cuck at mathematics. Yes. Anyway.
That was a struggle. That,
for me? No, not for
two
you.
Two and a half plus what?
Oh,
is
this,
four?
This actual fraction. Mm. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like maths in general when you were at school.
No, what? You.
Yo, it was your struggle. Maths was a struggle for me. And I would probably never forgive my parents for forcing me to do it. Because mm-hmm. when you get to standard eight, then you can choose your subjects.
Grade 10.
Oh, yeah. We're in 2021.
No one knows what standard 8 is.
I'm sure our demographic kind of does. But anyway, so then when I got to grade 10 and then my mother was like, you're not dropping maths. And I was like, why? And it's like, because I said so.
Yeah.
Which is a valid reason for anything.
Yeah, as a parent, yeah, I can confirm. I had accounting as a subject because I wouldn't have gotten my matric exemption to go and study without it. Yeah. I took a seventh subject so that I could cancel out my accounting each and every time. So I just didn't make any effort on it.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fun.
I know, but that's a lot of work for...
Not really. I still studied for six subjects.
Okay, you did nothing subject. For accounting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's why his personal finances are horrible.
And also his finance at the company I work for. Moral of the story, just believe in yourself.
Yeah, believe in yourself.
Fail upwards.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah, this week we've got a liquor show coming up because it is a Bioscope battle.
It's a weird battle.
It is a weird battle because it's, what did you say? It's a legacy battle.
It's a legacy battle.
Mm, legacy battle. So, we look forward to that, but let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
Nice. And did you like that?
I like that one.
I know. I
do
like
you work on them in your spare time?
I do not.
I in bed and you're like, let's get into the news.
Jody, if I practice for everything, I mean, Jesus. I mean, it's probably for the best if I do, but my personality, I'm not going to do
hashtag
that.
Last minute's the only minute.
Last minute's the only minute. We're going to put that on the t-shirt.
Yeah, we're getting tram stamps.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I was opting for t-shirt. Jody's like, you know what? Let's go all in.
Yeah.
Let's get tram stamps. And I don't have a tram stamp. I do have tattoos.
Yet.
Jody doesn't have tattoos yet.
No.
But
my first one.
Your first one's going to be this and not something that is for your family or.
No. No.
Okay.
I feel like last minute's the only minute that adequately speaks to my life.
That's right. And a lot of people are going to see your lower back.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I'm a tank top kind of guy.
A cropped tank top.
Cropped.
Yeah,
you know.
Cropped tank top kind of guy. But yeah, that is your best side, I feel. So, Benedict Cumberbatch. Cumbersnatch.
Yeah. Benedict Cumbersnatch.
Bender Cumberband. What did you say? Bender Dick?
Come on a snatch.
Come on a snatch. Oh my God. That is rough. So, Benedict. Nah, I can't say it normally. Benedict Cumberbatch. He's going to play a real life World War II magician who fights Nazis.
That's. Yeah, it's basically combining himself with Doctor Strange and Captain America.
Well, it's illusions, right? It's not like...
No, magic's real.
Okay.
Oh. You think magic is fake?
No, I'm scared to say otherwise. Who was your favorite magician out of like the great ones on television?
No,
were you a David Blaine guy or you were a Chris Angel guy?
Yeah, no, I like David Blaine.
No,
I like his moroseness.
That's the worst. No, he stares into your soul after every trick. There's a new guy on Netflix. Mm. It's a show called Magic for Humans.
Oh,
check that guy out.
I will.
Because I don't know his name. He's so famous.
<will look>.
No, I know the show is Magic for Humans. I love it. Anyway, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play this character. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, other than it's based on a real person.
That is nuts.
A magician fighting Nazis.
Did he use the magic to fight the Nazis?
I assume so.
Like throw a card and it slits their throat and shit.
Or like tell them I'm doing a trick and then instead of like fake cutting them in half, he actually cuts them in half. Like twist. He's dead. He doing like three times the same audience.
I imagine he's just like they're like doing a show and like one by one he's just making Jews disappear. like back to safety.
Yeah.
Just saving
them. He's like, oh, where did they go? And at the end of the show, he's like, okay, bye.
Okay.
I disappear now.
But where are all the Jews? Stop that, man.
Perhaps they're gone.
Yeah, I think tone is a big one with this. If it's a serious movie, then we'll see. But I mean, it's got a premise for it to be a little bit light.
I don't know who's attached to this, to direct or anything. I just know that...
Give it to Taika Waititi.
He would make magic. He could play Hitler again.
Oh my word. We are team Taika all the way. Best Hitler all the way. Historically inaccurate on purpose.
So accurate, man. So accurate.
You remember Borat 2? We spoke about Borat 2.
Love Borat
2. Yeah, we did love Borat 2. And then Rudy Giuliani was... That was the most controversial.
America's
controversial.
Mayor.
That was the most controversial America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, with the terrible bottom teeth. Mm. So his scene specifically was like the big one.
Yeah.
Where he looked like he was coming onto a girl that he knew... No, he didn't know, but was underage within the film.
For storyline purposes, she was underage.
Yeah.
She was posing as a reporter. Very young reporter. Not necessarily underage.
Not
his cousin wife.
Yeah, but it recently came out that when that happened, he tried to have the whole crew arrested.
Yeah. Because he said that they were blackmailing him.
Oh, which I don't believe.
No.
Because they already got the footage. Why would they, would they blackmail him for?
They didn't threaten him at all. Yeah. They just got the footage and they like.
Did they want policy change? Like, what would they want from
him? No, remember, he was selling pardons at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you get a pardon. You get a pardon. Yeah.
No, and the producers come out and she's like, he called the police and he called a whole bunch of like the Secret Service and the police and he's obviously connected there and he's like, these people are blackmailing me. Take care of them. And they had to sneak the things out in like their clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
All the footage that they got.
Working for Sacha Baron Cohen must be so stressful.
You don't get the danger pay thing.
No.
Oh, I don't think you can get insured if you work for him.
I wouldn't be able to handle it. My anxiety would be through the fucking roof. Yo.
But clearly the people, they all have a lot of trust in each other.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, if you watch that video again, and remember we spoke about it and you were saying how Sacha Baron Cohen's walkie-talkie stopped working.
Yeah.
Or his phone. So he couldn't...
His phone was the battery was dying, yeah.
Yeah. And they just somehow make everything work.
Yo, that somehow makes me nervous, man. Like, you know when you're walking in like a fancy shop or something...
And some old man has got his hand on...
Well, you have to... Whoa. No. I was talking, I was not... What kind of shops are you going to, Mom?
The good stuff.
No, and then I feel like you have to look not guilty.
Mm.
And I struggle with that sometimes.
Oh, when you're going out.
Yeah,
you've paid for the stuff. But yeah. You're still going to go off. Yeah.
And you have to act like not guilty. Mm. Do you get that feeling?
I get that feeling all the time.
You know what
I hate? When you buy things like razor blades, that the stuff that... And they don't do it properly. And then you go through and like...
I got a slip. That's why I only shop online.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a new trailer for a movie called Concrete Cowboy.
Mm.
Idris Elba and that little kid from Stranger Things.
Yes.
The black one.
Yeah, the one who's much older than the rest of them, actually.
Is he?
He's like 3 or 4 years older than the rest of them.
So he's like 35?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yes.
Is that the Benjamin Button disease?
He's Benjamin Buttoning it up, yeah.
Yo. So he it's based on a true, I wouldn't say it's a true story, right?
No,
but it's
just
based
a
on an actual
thing.
A thing.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia.
Mm. The Fletcher Street Cowboys.
Fletcher Street Cowboys. There's a group of black cowboys in the city,
yeah,
actually.
Like urban cowboys, basically.
Yeah. They wear hats, though.
Yeah, or, well, they're cowboys.
Well, I know, but like you would think that, like, you know, urban cowboys would
nah,
wear baseball
I don't think
caps.
You're a cowboy without
is that a thing? I thought
gun.
You need an actual cow.
No, you don't have to be a boy either. Don't call them cow men at some point.
Cow people. So we both watched the trailer now. I like it.
This looks really cool.
They show a little much for me. Like you kind of already see the beats. There's certain beats that
yeah,
it's going to
take. And the basic storyline is a father and son. Idris Elba's son comes to live with him. Clearly they haven't been together before. And then they go through issues of, you know, competing ideologies.
Why do you hate me, man?
Yeah. Mm. You know, the Will Smith speech from Fresh Prince.
Yeah. And the speech from Fences.
Yes.
Because they did kind of the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. But looks awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it. It's on Netflix, so it's going to cost me nothing.
It comes out on the 2nd, I think.
The 2nd of January.
Yeah,
2nd
of
April. No, 2nd of April.
We didn't even hear.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. We have to be accurate with the dates. My bad. 2nd of April, it'll be out. I'm not going to mess with you. No. Just look at Netflix. Okay, so you know that we are waiting for the Godzilla versus King Kong. Prince Kong? Let's say Prince Kong. Okay,
Kong
I say Prince.
Point.
Prince Kong. So Godzilla versus Prince Kong, the trailer came out. Jody and I are still debating on whether we're going to go watch it in cinema or not.
We are going to go watch it in cinema.
Okay, Jody is forcing me to go watch it in cinema. Which is fine.
Peer pressure.
I do have an asthma suit. I haven't cracked out in a while, but
yeah, so good for popcorn. You just actually put them. You put the kernels in the feet of the suit.
Yeah. Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, and you get hot enough all the way through the movie, and it just
no. I tape it off, and then I pour it into the head part, and then I just
so you create like a seal.
That's right, and so it just covers my nose, so I can still see the foam, and then I just eat my way out. Mm. It's quite a fun game. But anyway.
We'll take pictures.
So the trailer itself could have possibly revealed the ending.
Yeah, there's a bunch of trailers, like 1 minute trailers coming up now, TV spots, because they waited so long to actually release the marketing material. It's like every second day something else comes out now.
Yeah.
And they may have possibly spoiled the ending. I don't think we'll spoil it for anyone, but let's just hope.
No, let's spoil it for everybody.
So, in this trailer, it looks like Kong.
Wait, are you really going to spoil it for everybody?
Just
I know I'm kidding. Go watch the trailer and see if you can figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy without the spoiler warning, because we have a spoiler warning. Too much we put the spoiler warning.
Put the spoiler warning on.
Okay, hit him with the spoilers, Johnny.
So, it looks like Kong is being taken to a new place to live, which looks like the Arctic. It's like all icy and shit.
Mm.
He's being flown there by the helicopters, and the little girl that he has a bond with and the other humans are like...
The Bond girl.
The Bond girl. The bondage girl.
Oh my god, why, Jody? She's so young. Why would you say
I
that?
I call her a Bond girl.
Because it's funny. She's a girl with a bond, and Bond girl refers
no agency.
To...
They have no agency,
right? Jody just cucks on a person's joke sometimes. And it's becoming very stressful for me.
We walk a fight. Oh, people had to see this chat.
No, fuck, man. Maybe one day we'll release it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just our conversation.
Listen, where are they taking him?
It looks like to a new home. Like he's settling somewhere and the humans are saying bye to him. So kind of implying that Kong wins something.
Yeah.
You know?
Consolation.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't like it when these trailers, and it's such a problem nowadays, where trailers are spoiling shit for us.
But my main thing is, why haven't they learned? I mean, you've got forums now. You've got the internet where you can literally see your target market's reaction to it in real time.
And people are freezing every single frame to analyze shit. It's like, just don't give it. Don't tell them things.
Everybody should. Okay. They should learn from Christopher Nolan, to be fair. Because he gives fuck all away.
Or Marvel with Endgame.
Yeah. They must spend money on CGI.
that doesn't
to like flows that. Everybody. Exactly. They add and remove characters in certain scenes. They change things to deliberately throw people off. I love that.
I love it. I all you have to do is hype me for the film. Don't spoil it.
Yeah. Okay.
Onto some bad news.
It's bad news.
I don't like this.
I also don't like this. So, Avatar. No, not that one. The blue people one. Has once again claimed the top spot as the most successful movie of all time.
And by successful, we mean
the box office. Yeah. Most expensive. Well, how do you judge a movie success?
Do you remember, I think you still mentioned that this film actually technically did not lose its first place.
If you adjust for inflation, technically it didn't. But they literally re-released a special edition or something in China, and it overtook Avengers.
It's making a shitload of money.
This might actually be on its way to $3 billion. If they re-release it in the States again, which they definitely will to build hype for the sequels,
exactly.
I think it's gonna go over $3 billion.
Yeah, I think it made something like $30 million in its first week in China, and in the second week, it's also making like in that same vicinity.
Yeah.
So that's mad.
No, it's mad. And if you are an avid listener, you know that my feelings towards this, and I feel this is undeserved.
I still haven't watched it.
I'm
not adding
okay,
to that
let
money.
Okay, let me ask you I'm sure you could get a copy without actually paying money for it. But are you going to watch it when the sequels come out?
I don't think I'm even invested in the sequels.
You're not going to do the sequels either?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
I'm just thinking about it. No, you're not.
Think about you.
That's a TikTok reference. I've been telling you to go on TikTok.
I don't tick or talk.
It's the wave of the future. Even Sumi's on TikTok. Sumi RF is our close personal friend.
Eighth best podcast.
Shout out Sumi. Yeah, go on TikTok.
Is he also on?
He's on TikTok, yeah.
You guys are pressuring me. I feel pressured to do this.
So it really works with like an algorithm and stuff. What you like, what you don't like. I mean, as do most things. But Abby, my wife, she said she will only go on TikTok if I start her account and then tweak her algorithm to her liking. So she doesn't want to actually do the groundwork.
Yeah.
She just wants to receive the account
and it's
prepped.
Yeah.
So it'll be like fitness stuff, food stuff, funny stuff, pets, dogs.
Nice.
Pumple popping. She loves that shit. She loves that shit. I know. It's rough. It's rough, man. But she loves it.
That's hectic, man.
It's cock hectic. But anyway, we'll talk. Maybe if you ask Janet to do that for you.
To tweak my shit.
Yeah, to tweak your TikTok.
She might get a little confused. We normally tweak our TikToks after.
Whoa. This is Bicycle Brasa After Dark.
After Dark.
Bonk, chicka, wank,
wank. Do you remember Baywatch After Dark?
I do not because I was asleep.
So much. Did your mommy make you sleep at 8?
No, not really. I mean, you know, the rules were different back then. They didn't like enforce a lot of
Baywatch
things.
Baywatch After Dark was full of leather and full of neon.
Look, that's what you want in a...
Very little swimming.
That's what you want after dark is leather.
No swimming.
And neon. And swimming. No swimming. That's right. Because if it's one thing you want to do after dark, it's stay dry.
Movie Cat Talk.
Righto. We spoke about the barrel. And it's time for the barrel.
Oh, do you know what else makes this barrel special?
Well, what makes this barrel special?
The title's exactly the same.
It is exactly the same with one tiny change. So this barrel, we are going to be discussing Coming to America.
T.O.
1988.
Yes.
Versus Coming Numero 2 America 2021.
It's really difficult to do Google searches with us.
It really is. You have to like type out the full name.
But even if you do, it immediately refers you to the sequel.
There's only one like your first search entry will be Coming to the relevant one, and then the rest of them will be the 1988 version.
So look, we're making an exception for this one because typically we do like remakes or like, you know, theme battles or like love stories or something, but we felt like these two were, I mean, it's 32 years later.
32 years. Can you, how old do you feel, bruh?
So,
yes.
We thought we could do it this way, right? We're actually going to compare the two films. We're going to pick a winner for which one's better.
Yeah.
And yeah, That's our plan.
Oh, where? Let's get into it.
So, same cast in both of them, starring and written by story by Eddie Murphy for the original.
Yes.
Starring Eddie, Arsenio Hall, his best friend in life, James Earl Jones as his father, Shari Eddie as a love interest, and John Amos as the McDonald's team.
McDonald's. Cleo McDowell. That was amazing. Like, even back in the day, we didn't have McDonald's when it first came out, but I kind of knew about it.
I think we've all heard of it just by, because we
movies and so on, yeah. And then his whole business plan is copy McDonald's in every way, but just arches. Change. We've got the ox, he
they've
said.
They've got the ox. They've got the arches.
You change one slight thing, like their Big Mac. Mm. Comes with sesame seeds on it, and his Big Mick has no sesame seeds.
Also, the font of the M, it's like McDonald's is Times New Roman and he's Calibri.
it's like to that extent. And they keep trying to sue him, but he keeps getting,
away.
Finding loopholes,
Anyway, this one's directed by John Landis, who's a big comedic director.
Look, John Landis, bruh, he did... Yes, he did.
Blues Brothers. The National Lampoon's films.
Trading Places. Some classics.
Yeah, huge comedy director.
Three Amigos is one of my favorites, too. I don't know if that movie holds up. We should probably revisit it sometime.
I think a lot of his stuff was going to be like...
if I think about it, it's going to be like, problematic.
So let's read our synopsis for the first one. An extremely pampered African prince travels to Queens, New York, and goes... undercover to find a wife that he can respect for her intelligence and strong will.
Yeah, which is quite progressive on his part. I mean, especially in the 80s.
Exactly. So the basic premise is that Eddie Murphy's character...
Prince Akeem.
Yeah. He's going to have a wife chosen for him. He's just turned 21. As per their traditions, he's getting a wife chosen for him by his family. He's going to get married soon. And he's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I actually want someone who'll make me happy.
Yeah, because the wife that they choose for him has literally, I was going to say been bred, but she's literally been bred to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, her role in life is to be his wife and to basically serve him. Love whatever he loves and serve him for the rest of his life and make kids.
And then one of the things that he makes her do is hop on one leg and bark like a dog because he's like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you'll do whatever I want, hop on one leg. That's the last time we see her.
Yes. So even like ask her, what's your favorite movie?
Yeah, and whatever like, movie you
whatever
like.
Whatever you like.
I mean, guys, it sounds like a good idea.
Mm.
But
no,
really no, come on.
No,
that's not what you want. You want someone to challenge you.
Yeah. And I guess that the movie's ideals are pretty progressive for that time.
That's what I said. Yeah. It's nuts. You wouldn't think that would be someone's dream, especially in the 80s.
So Prince Akeem convinces his father to let him and
Semi.
His best friend / assistant.
It's like he works for them, but he's his bra.
Yeah. Like super close.
It's very strange.
It's a really weird vibe. Okay. He's butler and best friend.
And they were calling him Simi the whole time.
But it's Semi.
It's Semi, but they were calling him Simi in the beginning. And I'm like, shit, I was going to mention there's a Simi. And we also know a Simi, but then afterwards it's Semi.
Yeah.
And a Semi is just another name for like a half erect boner.
Yeah. Half erect. It's either half erect or...
half flaccid.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Is your that's like the new optimism. Is your penis half erect or is it half flaccid?
Yeah. Kind of
nice. Hashtag.
Hashtag need Viagra.
None of us ever see me right now. No, our tops are on this time.
Previous time.
Yeah, previous. Ooh, we might go bottoms off.
Ooh, we go bottoms off and we start tweaking.
Yeah, there's going to clean up on aisle this room.
Happy will never let us go.
Like a fucking crime scene. Oh, anyway, okay.
So
he goes to America.
Yeah.
And they experience America, which I actually loved a lot. Like that first time, Eddie Murphy's playing it so innocently. And he's like, he's aware of things, but he doesn't really know. So he's, when he makes the joke of like, he doesn't know what swear words are.
Yeah.
You believe it. And it's like,
Look, this is peak 88. This was it's 1988. Yeah. This is right at the height of Beverly Hills Cop. It's Eddie during his SNL phase.
Yeah.
It's Eddie with his, 48 Hours as well that came out during that time.
Yeah,
so
I mean, he was at the...
Eddie was at his peak as an actor, I think, at this time. And it really shows in terms of just how magnetic his presence is.
He was so good, man. We'll get into it, but in this movie he was so good.
He really was.
In the intro, Ladysmith Black Mambazo plays. As they're going through to Zamunda, I was like, this is dope.
It is. And also, did you see the strong influence that we have for the entrance into Wakanda when we first see it
in
Black Panther and this movie's whole intro sequence with the
shotgun? Like this movie, the budget was $36 million. And it grossed $350 million.
Yeah, it was insane.
It was insane, especially with the black community. But the premiere didn't go so well.
Really?
So when they premiered it, after the viewing, they were like, oh, this is bad. Mm. And then they canceled the rest of the press.
What?
Yeah, the press screenings.
What?
I was like, I couldn't believe. Then it was at least, and that's when it gained traction. And it was like, oh, shit, we actually have a hit. That's but crazy. Initially, yeah. Okay, I'll give my opinions on the movie afterwards. But they go to Queens.
Yes.
But they actually filmed majority of the movie in Brooklyn too.
Yeah, which I think you can see.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't fucking love there. They fooled me.
You've seen so much of it by this point.
They sure fooled me. One of the things that kind of took me. So you see Zamunda for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know what a matte painting is?
Yeah.
So a matte painting... For you, the
not
listener.
Not glossy.
No. It's what they used to do back in the day for kind of like special effects and to fake like backdrops and scenes and stuff. They would paint on sheets of glass, right? Mm-hmm. And they would block out the area that you are going to see in real life. And then they'll shoot through that plate of glass. Mm-hmm. But the matte painting will cover the other thing. So that will look like you have this spectacular scene. Mm. But it's actually just a painting on a sheet of glass, which is quite impressive.
So like if you a look castle
at,
background.
If you look at RoboCop, they do it really well in RoboCop. But this one was no good.
Yeah, no, the backgrounds were...
It was so bad, and I couldn't believe how bad it was.
Yeah, I actually want to talk about that when we do direct comparison.
Yeah, so
you can really see the budget influence.
Oh, where's that? So then they go to Queens. Mm. James Earl Jones, though... Mm. It was so nice to see him back then, eh?
I know. And that power.
That
like no one else had that.
No one else.
Like power.
He was the king. So also him and what's her name? Madge Sinclair is her name.
Yes.
She played Sarabi in The Lion King and he was Mufasa.
Yes. That's so insane.
Right?
So crazy. And there's such a shitty Mufasa joke.
No, they
I get ahead of myself.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was just really cool for me to see James Earl Jones in there. Also,
so powerful.
When we're in Zamunda, She's Your Queen to Be, the song.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
That I was bawling with laughter.
Do you know what I love as well on the Zamunda thing?
What?
If you Google coming to America, one of the first questions that pop up, is Zamunda a real place?
No, you know, man, no, who's Americans, that? Americans, Americans. Oh. You know, such Americans. But that
right
song.
Next to Wakanda.
I was busting so hard for that fucking song because to be fair, I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Me neither.
And then we rewatched it for the show and she's your queen.
And he just bust out, right? After just doing all these announcements and things.
Every sitting next to me, she's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, and the dancers.
Dance was choreographed by Paula Abdul.
Really?
Yes, she was a Laker girl at the time. Mm. And she wasn't even 20 yet.
Jeez.
And they obviously asked like for your choreographers and she was just like, yeah, I can do it. African dance. I know that. But she didn't. She didn't.
Wow.
And then she figured that out and she fucking choreographed that whole and it's so energetic.
It's amazing
because it took me by surprise and it was just so frenetic and full
of
vigor.
When Jenna was watching it, she was like, this looks like if Beyonce was choreographing what she thinks people dance like.
It's what it, this is American African dance. Yeah. It, yes, I'll give her that. But in terms of the actual dance itself, I thought it was pretty dope.
Yeah. It's a really, everything about this movie is like just really fun. And
yeah.
For that time, like if you think about, put yourself in the 80s again.
Okay, wait, give me
a second. You could see.
I'm 4 years old.
Mommy, what a boobie. it just really, it convinces you about the time and the place that they talk about.
Look, the barbershop is one of the best parts of the film.
I think it's probably my favorite version 100%. Of Eddie doing multiple characters.
Yeah. Also, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s first appearance on film.
He's just magical, like, as the guy getting
a haircut.
And he's got that same dumbass look on his face that the employee.
This is the first time that Eddie Murphy also plays multiple characters.
Yeah. Mm. And I really think he does it well in this one.
Yeah. The Jewish character is amazing. Yeah.
Uncredited, right?
Yes, but
I think he's the only one that doesn't get credited at the end.
No, they don't show his name.
Yeah. So they just show his face and nothing else.
After they apply the makeup and stuff. So Eddie Murphy wanted to test it. Mm-hmm. And what he would do is he would just ride around the lot. And then talk to people in his Eddie Murphy voice and say, "I'm Eddie Murphy." And people didn't believe him. So he was like, okay, the makeup works. But the makeup was done by Rick Baker. Do you know Rick Baker? He's a makeup legend.
Uh-huh.
Like he was the guy. If you got prosthetics and makeup, he was the guy that you went to. Yeah, he did it for years. I think he might be dead now. Let's just give it a googs, mate.
Yeah.
Let's give it a googs.
Ah, retired but not dead.
Retired but not dead. He did Planet of the Apes, 2001. Men in Black, Wolfman.
Oh, Wolfman's prosthetics was quite good.
Yeah, like these are just the modern ones. And there's a whole lot from the 80s.
Yeah. Tron Legacy is dead. Oh, Tropic Thunder. Can't talk about that.
We can, man. It's.
Is that the good Hellboy that he worked on?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the 2004 one. Ghosts, fucking Ed Wood, Batman, for like he's the guy.
You can see,
and that's why it's so good.
It's legit. I mean, particularly again for that time, the only thing I thought looked fake on Eddie was his gums as the barber.
Yes,
you know, the teeth. That was the only dodgy.
Yeah,
thing. Everything else was like.
But even Arsenio Hall's makeup as well.
Yeah.
Yes. The guy that's constantly eating, the one guy in the barbershop.
The guy in the barbershop who doesn't cut any hair.
He just sits and frits the whole day. The barbershop stuff is also my favorite.
It's gold.
I must say. Yeah, very, very good.
So, and the other character Eddie plays, obviously, the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate.
Listen, Randy Watson and Sexual Chocolate has a special place in my heart.
As well as Arsenio's minister.
Oh my God. Look, the minister is a creep. And I was there's probably so many ministers who are like that.
Like legit. Eh?
Yeah.
Like all the televangelists, whether they actually have the naked woman on stage or not, they are exactly.
Maki Sasaki. But Sexual Chocolate, I burst out laughing.
That was your wedding song.
Yes, it was my wedding song. I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Sexual Chocolate.
And then Brad, the only guy that wasn't played by Eddie or
yes, like, he loves like, oh, it. That boy can sing. And it was so terrible, but Abby also couldn't understand why I was laughing so hard for it. But it was a memory thing. It was nostalgia. And that bit is so fucking funny, man.
Yeah. A lot of this movie though, it really holds up.
It does.
I haven't watched it in so long, but what I will say is that it feels very of its time in terms of you're going to get naked ladies because it's a comedy from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
You're going to get swearing. You're going
R-rated.
Yeah.
So legit.
And they make the most of it.
That was Eddie's wheelhouse back then. Mm-hmm. The R-rated comedies. That's what you want to do. You want him to say, motherfucker.
Exactly. And you know when they're like walking around in Queens when he's super happy because of his date and he's like singing and like, shut the fuck up. That is how people really get upset, man.
Now imagine that's how people talk in Queens.
Exactly.
There's so many things that I really loved. Sexual Chocolate being one of them. And then Eric LaSalle.
Oh, magic.
Soul Glow.
Yes.
That was magic.
That song, that ad. But the guy who wrote that song, he does jingles in real life.
Yeah.
And he says that is the peak of his jingle writing career. He reckons it's the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, it's because if you think about it, it's such a, okay, it's a uniquely black product.
Yeah.
And the song itself just has this female voice just belting. Mm-hmm. And it fits so perfectly. Note. And then the ad itself has this beautiful black man.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can describe him.
With the best Jericho that you have ever
it's
seen.
The ultimate Jericho.
You can see the moisture, but nothing's running.
There's no drip whatsoever, but it's glistening. Mm. So good with this woman just belting at you know the limits of her voice, and it's so well done. And then the bottle is just so plain, like a brown bottle.
Yeah, but that is also 80s.
That's so 80s. Really. So glow. I wish I had it.
Yeah,
I would use that shit.
I would too. I don't have hair, but I'd put it on.
Yeah, Eric LaSalle, he was amazing. He played the douchebag so well.
Yeah.
And his wardrobe just astounded me also. Yeah. I mean, I knew it was from the 80s, but he was something special.
He embraced it.
There's some fucking chick heavy jackets and it was and absolutely
he had the hair,
perfect.
The hair as well. People might, if people can't picture Eric LaSalle, he was the black doctor on ER. So if you remember ER.
I didn't know what ER. I wasn't a fan. I just know George Clooney was there too.
Yeah, and that guy was the Unbliss.
He's actually a good director now.
Who, the Unbliss?
Eric LaSalle.
Oh.
He's a TV director. Ah. That's why, okay.
Spoiler alert.
He's not in the second one.
Yeah, he doesn't come back.
They wanted him to come back. Oh. But he couldn't because he was directing Chicago PD or something. Oh, okay. His scheduling thing. Oh, okay. So, everyone is so good in the 80s movie.
The love interest for Eddie also. What's her name? Shari Headley.
Yeah.
Mr. McDowell's daughter.
Yeah.
Really cool character. Quite a strong black woman, really independent.
She'd be light skinned.
Yeah, she's light skinned.
She's very light skinned.
So she comes from a well off black family. Her dad's got this business that's very successful.
And then Patrice.
Yes.
The
sister.
She's I don't wanna offend anybody.
Yeah, don't slut shame.
No, I won't slut shame, but Patrice is lekker just.
Yeah, she's on the prowl.
She has a healthy sexual appetite, which is fine, but it is the 80s, so I imagine they were having a lot of unprotected sex at the time.
Yeah, man.
Although, I just hope she was safe, that's all.
I mean, the biggest risk for her was a baby.
Yeah. Well, no, 88, when did HIV...
It was, but it wasn't really spoken about then.
And they were also, they were saying, oh, it's more of a homosexual thing at the time. Your dark stuff. So, did you enjoy this first one?
I really like watching it again after so long.
Yeah.
I feel like I remembered the main story beats before I watched it.
Yeah, me as well.
And I remember it being funny, but I really I had laugh out loud moments watching this again.
Yeah.
It felt so nice just to go back into that time.
Yeah, it was like a little time travel.
Yeah, and also
machine.
The comedies from that time had a specific style, man. And this was really of its time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it did drag for me a little.
Mm. It's 2 hours long, which was...
Yeah, that time is really long, actually. But there's a story behind that. So that is not the director's cut, to say.
Oh.
John Landis said there's a better movie in there. In 2015, John Landis said that he liked coming to America, but he always felt that the movie was slow at times. Mm. So he proposed that he do a director's cut for Paramount for their 2015 Blu-ray release. Okay. But they said no. But I agree with him.
Mm. There's a lot.
There's a lot of things that could be cut. And
Sam Jackson's robbery scene.
Sam Jackson's in this movie.
Ooh, like some crazy
there's so many. Oh yeah, but he's good at that.
Oh yeah,
motherfucker!
Did I say move?
There was a lot of also behind the scenes stories of Eddie specifically.
Well, I heard
they came to the blows.
The story thing, like the stealing of the story.
Yeah, so there's a guy named Art Buckland, Art Buckwald.
Yeah,
right. He was a columnist, and he had come up with this idea and the script and shit. And it was supposed to be called "It's a Crude, Crude World," and then it was changed to "King for a Day" later. Uh-huh. So he then went to Paramount, but then it was stuck in production hell.
Yeah, for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and then they stopped it. They abandoned it. And then he took it to Warner Brothers. And they had started work on it, but then Warner Brothers had gotten wind of Paramount working on a similar thing, so they stopped
it. And Paramount gave him a nominal fee for the script. They paid him for the script in the
game,
but it was
But then he sued Paramount and he won.
Yeah.
But they paid him like an undisclosed amount. He paid him damages, but he didn't get any credit. It's still only credited to Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy, it says an Eddie Murphy production, but Eddie Murphy wasn't a producer and he didn't have a production company.
Yeah, that made no sense to me in the beginning.
I think that was kind of a fuck you to Art Buckwell.
That came on, I was like, did Eddie Murphy direct this movie? Because no.
I also thought like, yo, this bro is like, anyway. Michael Jackson and Prince almost had a cameo.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
They were supposed to have a dance-off.
Whoa.
But they obviously couldn't because... and then John Landis directed the Thriller video. That's why they were brassa. Yeah. So imagine that.
Did you see Prince... some video released on Twitter of Prince shooting hoops during a concert.
He can play, bro.
And then people all reference the Charlie Murphy story.
Yeah, Charlie Murphy story. You saw Charlie Murphy, huh?
Yeah.
Yo, my bro, go watch that. If you got time.
It's
from Chappelle's show. I think it's True Hollywood Stories or something. Yeah. The Charlie Murphy Prince story. It's amazing. My goodness. So good. In 1989, a year after the movie was released, CBS tried to create a TV show.
They filmed it.
Right? Yes, they filmed it. And it starred Tommy Davidson. So they filmed the pilot, but it was so fucking bad that it was... And you can watch it on YouTube if you want to.
Yeah, I read that they...
It's so terrible.
CBS actually decided to release it along with like... they had like a Christmas special thing.
Yeah.
Where they had like a bunch of episode stuff and they put this as part of that. They like just grouped it in there.
I watched like 5 minutes of it. Mm. It's fucking horrible. Like his character doesn't resemble, I mean, not only physically, but like in his mannerism, he doesn't resemble Prince Hakim.
Is he supposed to be Hakim in the
Yes.
Oh, lordy.
Fuck, it's bad. Anyway.
Wow.
So this is the juicy Lucy stuff because John Landis, before he directed this film, he kind of had a bad reputation, right? He had a string of flops. There were manslaughter charges for when he was filming Twilight Zone, the movie. It killed three people. Two of them were children.
Yeah.
And then in an interview, because Eddie Murphy had asked John Landis to direct this film. So Eddie Murphy said, and I quote, "Yes, he done 4 fucked up movies in a row. And I knew he'd spend a lot of money on his trial. I went to Paramount and I said I wanted to use Landis, but they had reservations. His career was fucked up, but I said, I'm going to use Landis. I like the guy. I used to always say that the one fun experience I had with the director, and I've worked with directors I really like, Martin Brest, Walter Hill, Tony Scott, was with Landis because he plays around a lot on the set. I made Paramount hire him," which is quite funny.
That is.
If you look further into the story, the two of them, well, to this day, they still have beef. But the two of them didn't necessarily get along when they were filming things. So on the set of Coming to America, John Landis said, and I quote, "On Coming to America, we clashed quite a bit because he was such a pig." "He was so rude to people. We had a good working relationship, but our personal relationship changed because he just felt that he was a superstar and that everyone had to kiss his ass. He was a jerk, but great. In fact, one of the greatest performances he's ever given." So it was this weird thing of like...
He's good at his job, but he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag. I mean, this, like you said, this is the height of Eddie, right? So I imagine his stardom was just through the fucking roof.
True, but I've never heard stories of Eddie being a douche like that. Most of the stories I've heard of Eddie by other movie stars, because he's quite reclusive, actually.
He is reclusive,
generally, he's actually quite
cool. They've spoken about this quite a lot. So then... There's more. So the movie had troubles with the shoot and so on. And John Landis and Eddie Murphy actually came to physical blows one time.
Well. Yeah. Stand your man.
And then a local McDonald's franchisee turned up on set with his lawyer and threatened to sue the production. And they had like written consent from McDonald's because they name dropped McDonald's a lot. So they had permission for them. Eventually, the guy was told that, you know, he had to leave. So Paramount was very angry with Murphy for allegedly both misusing his expenses budget and trying to get his friends and family on the payroll by inventing jobs for them like on set. And then Eddie accused Paramount of hiding profits from him. So I was like, yo, this is tumultuous, my bro. Like, it's really insane.
And from such tumultuous productions, there comes a really fun movie.
It's such a fun movie. they said now recently in one of, when they were doing interviews for the sequel, they said there's one white employee in McDowell's.
Yeah, that comedian.
He's a comedian, yeah. His name is Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
And the studio forced him to hire him because they said that you need at least one white comedian in the film. Yes. So they all chose Anderson because they were Arsenio and Murphy because they were fans of his stand-up. And there were three options, but they never said what the other two options were.
I wonder who that would have been. Probably people that Eddie worked with.
Like, yeah, definitely. I mean, they fucking all know each other from like comedy shows and shit. Look, one of my dreams would be to go to New York to like the Comedy Cellar and shit.
And they just
Who's gonna pitch up there.
If we had like 2 weeks, we just go every night.
Every night,
just stay there till 1-2 in the morning.
Oh yeah,
and then like Chappelle's working on shit, he's gonna stick out.
Yeah, bruh. Famous motherfuckers come through there. Anyway. So yeah, amazing movie. I really did enjoy it. Like I said, it dragged a bit, but it was so nice to go back.
I loved going back. You want to move on to part two?
Let's go forward.
Coming to.
Coming on America. Everyone's back.
Everyone except Eric.
Yeah, Eric and Madge, the queen.
Did she pass away?
She passed away, cancer.
We were trying to figure out why she wasn't.
Hashtag fuck cancer.
Oh,
man. So... everyone looks good, yeah?
Yeah, even James.
Even James.
I'm always surprised when I see he's still like alive and doing stuff.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Like he's 80 odd now. 88 or something.
Doesn't really look that old.
No, he doesn't look old. But he's been old for a while.
It feels like he's been like a dignified age for a very long time.
Yeah, he was 88 when they filmed this, right? And then he was eager to do it and he agreed to it, but he didn't want to travel so far. So you'll notice in the film that him and Eddie are never in the same scene together.
Okay.
So they shot his stuff like separately. Okay. But I'm glad he came back.
Definitely. So look, the story for this one, as you said, everyone is back basically.
Yeah.
In this one, Eddie and what's his wife's character's name now again?
Stacy.
Just making that up.
I am making that up. So what?
Shari Headley's character.
Yeah, Stacy.
Anyway, so they've married. We had the happy ending in part one where Eddie actually ends up marrying her. In this one, they've had three daughters, and Eddie is now poised to become king. His father is getting old. It's time for Eddie to take the crown, but Eddie doesn't have any sons, and within this patriarchal culture, I think, can only succeed as king if you have your own successor in already there.
Yeah.
We are also introduced to the amazing Wesley Snipes as General Izzy.
Oh, my God. Is it amazing, though?
I love Wesley Snipes.
No, I love...
okay. I love him in this role.
Yeah.
And General Izzy...
he's like a dictator that is kind of looking to overthrow...
And
monarchy.
Yes. So his character is the brother of the wife who was promised to Eddie in part one.
Yes.
We didn't go.
Who is still hopping on one leg and barking. She's like,
to be a dog.
Like 32 years later, this woman is still.
We then contrive to find the reason for Eddie and Sammy to go back to America.
Yeah.
To go and find the long-lost son that he didn't know he had.
Yeah.
We are then introduced to Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, as well as Eddie's new son.
What's the son's name?
I can't remember that actor.
I don't like him.
I don't like any of the new additions except for General Izzy.
Oh, really?
Love Izzy.
Look, Leslie Jones... she works in a certain space.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it gets too much. Sometimes it's a bit hectic. Mm. There's like one or two lines that were cock funny.
Yeah. But I'm not a big fan of her work. So
yeah,
I think she just feels like she's too much for me most of the time.
That's what I'm saying. Like when she does it, when she's more reserved, when she handles it a bit better instead of going like full.
Yeah.
When she's at full tilt, then it's also too much for me.
Yeah. But I feel like that's all we get in this. So, that's a general storyline for this one.
Lisa.
Yeah, you're close. Stace and Lisa.
Yeah.
I didn't actually enjoy this one as much as the other.
I did not think this was good. at all. So,
and this is also what we would consider a legacy sequel, right?
Yeah.
It's taken place years
later, like literally. It actually made me quite sad to think it was this long.
I know. 33 years technically.
Yeah.
28 and 21. So.
Fucking hell.
I mean, we've all but given up hope at this point.
Yeah. So. What's gonna happen? It's called Coming to America.
Yeah.
But they spend most of their time in Zamunda.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have to figure out who's going to succeed him and all this jazz eventually. And you learn about his family because he has three daughters.
Yeah. We're all being trained.
Yeah.
Much like Eddie was in part one. They're all being trained, you know, in all of the royal protocols to be fighters.
And his eldest daughter is played by Kiki Layne.
Mm.
She is from the Old Guard.
Oh, yes.
But she was terrible in the Old Guard.
Yeah, she wasn't great. In
but in this really movie, she's good.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that like she's wasted, improving. Yeah. Because you, only towards the end, you like see her more, you stay with her, you learn exactly what her motivations are and stuff. Yeah, it's more like, in the beginning, then she's just huffing and puffing because now she's not going to be queen.
Exactly.
Basically.
So, look, I want to talk about some legacy sequels, which, as we've seen in the past, they either really work or they are very disappointing.
Yeah.
I think one examples of those that are super disappointing, the later Die Hard films.
Yeah.
T3, Rise of the Machine.
Wait, which later ones? Just the... Because Die Hard 4 was okay.
Yeah, but in
Die Hard 5 is terrible,
just
yeah.
Just dog shit. And whatever's coming next, I'm not looking forward to.
No.
Some others that also didn't work. I think Escape from LA wasn't great after Escape from New York.
Yo.
Glass as a sequel, as an actual sequel to Unbreakable, is just very disappointing. Indiana Jones, which took place 19 years after the last one. Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
20 years after the original Independence
Day. So, I think the theme is like, you can tell when it's a cash grab and when it's a legit sequel.
Exactly.
And this one feels like a cash grab.
It does.
There's no reason for it. And also, the overuse of cameos.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. In Vogue makes an appearance. Gladys Knight makes an appearance.
For no reason whatsoever.
No reason. And Abby actually asked me, is this a musical?
Mm.
Like in that first section, because like, even when they introduce his daughter, Eddie Murphy, Wesley Snipes' daughter, she comes in and it's that singer.
The South African act.
No, not the barber. She's the stylist, the hairstylist for the kingdom. Her name is...
the one who Eddie's son falls in love with.
Yes. We should say her name. Nomzamo Mbatha.
Yeah. She's I actually thought she was on the...
She was amazing, yeah. Really? Honestly, she was good. Tiana Taylor, that's the singer. She's a singer. Mm. When she came in and then they started singing and then the prince started rapping and I was like, what the fuck is this? Who is this for?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. And if you are making a sequel 32 years later, then make the sequel for the people that has grown up with you.
And I think that there are logical stories that they could have followed.
But, no, definitely.
But look,
the story wasn't... I mean, okay, the bare bones of the story was okay. The idea was there. If he's got daughters and he must look for a son.
Yeah.
I think the execution was just terrible.
What I would have preferred, I don't think they needed a son angle at all.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of both of these films is that the kings realized...
Yeah, but they needed him to go back to America.
But then why not have his eldest daughter like run away because she's pissed off...
That she can't be king.
And the story is that he needs to go and get her and she grows in America, much like he did.
Yeah, because she could also discover things about him from the people who encountered him in Queens.
That would have been a more interesting story.
Fuck, let's write this movie, Jody.
Just do another
one. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna get her. Do you have a pen?
No, we're recording.
We're fully digital. I type with two fingers.
I feel like that story empowers his daughter.
Yeah.
It gives us a more female-led story, which would have been interesting as a contrast to Eddie's from in the past.
Yeah.
Because the son story was just... I keep thinking they're going to have a twist that it's not his son.
I would have... Yes. I also thought that crossed my mind at some point. But also, the son was cack irritating.
Yeah, he just wasn't an engaging character.
He did not... Even though you start, you know, get certain characters that kind of start off irritating and then they win you over. He did not win me over. I did not like his face.
Yeah. And he was really like smug about deserving to be king despite doing nothing at all.
Yeah.
At any point.
And when he's supposed to, like, the story takes a turn and he's supposed to, like, you're supposed to be on his in his corner.
Mm.
I just didn't feel anything for it. Like, fuck that, man.
Ross, I want to mention a couple of films that
Jody,
are examples of mention good legacies.
Mention them.
Good ones.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. You
did. That was on the screen. Halloween 2018, 40 years after.
Wow.
Because that was set as a sequel.
I haven't seen
the
it.
Original Halloween.
I haven't seen
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. Mary Poppins Returns.
I haven't seen it.
54 years after the last film.
I haven't seen it.
Really good. Emily Blunt is incredible. Blade Runner, you've seen.
Great. Yeah, 2049.
Worthwhile sequel. Mm. You know, they have some legacy characters.
Didn't do very well, though.
It didn't do well, but we don't care because we still think it's a good movie.
That's
to
right.
me.
Didn't even
know what he's doing.
Do you have another one?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Phew. Phew.
That is those are examples of doing a sequel years later, decades later.
I remember a friend of mine. A friend of mine telling me he hated Mad Max because he's like they drive one way and then they just drive the other way. Which is fair.
Technically.
But it's what happens along the road that makes it so special.
It's all about the journey. Oh, that's, the
right, that's right, Broster. So the new movie.
Mm.
The palace looks way better.
You can see.
Yeah, you can see the money.
On the point that you made
earlier. Yeah, you can see the money.
There's a lot more money. The background.
But I think the money is coming from.
Netflix.
No, from product placement.
Yeah.
Pepsi,
yeah,
for one.
Yeah.
Fashion Nova. Do you know Fashion Nova?
No.
So they are on Instagram. It's quite funny. They have a big. They do this big celebrity marketing campaigns, especially with like Cardi B as like it's affordable, stylish clothing, okay. And they've made a name for themselves. Yeah. I fucking hate the name Fashion Nova though. It's terrible. So there was a moose, a Fashion Nova sign in there, and I was like. Afterwards, I was thinking like, okay, let's play the game where we try and spot the brands. But then I was like, ugh.
Not even subtle.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
Not subtle.
I'm not going to do that. And then the Zamundan funeral, that's specifically when I'm talking about in Vogue and all that. I just felt it was such a gimmick.
Yeah.
It was such a gimmick. And then it
like
made
me
think.
Like, we were trying to figure out, how do we get in Vogue to sing again?
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like this is, they're trying to be set of like fan service, but it was just, it came off as corny, man.
No. It really, I have a lot of frustrations with this film.
Yeah.
I feel as though it's not Eddie's best work.
No.
And I was excited because the director of this, Craig Brewster, is the guy that worked with Eddie on Dolomite Is My Name.
Yes.
Which I loved. If you haven't checked that out on Netflix.
I'm glad Eddie's working again.
I'm glad, but I feel like this is a bit of a regression after Dolomite for him.
True story.
And I think that Eddie... In the first Coming to America was notable because it was a more reserved role for Eddie after, you know, a lot of very bombastic characters.
Yeah.
In this one, I feel like he's...
He's not the same, isn't
like
he?
Going back.
It's too... It's, he's not that... I expected it to be closer to the character from Coming to America 1.
Yeah.
Like his performance, his mannerisms, the way... But it was... You're right. It was going back to the other characters, the wild characters, Yo, so, that's so cool
like
that you also noticed that. It's almost like we were meant to do this.
You know? unfortunately, I feel like Eddie's...
You don't know him. Stop calling him Eddie.
Prince Akeem's.
Eddie Murphy.
I feel like Mr. Murphy's comeback is actually stalled a bit with this one.
Yeah, but I feel like he's got good things coming up.
Yeah. I've still got hope that...
But this one was a must for me, man. Do you want to go into spoilers?
But I will also say, I love General Easy, man. Wesley Snipes' addition to this is the only addition.
But then the dances, the drumline shit behind him. Was corny as fuck.
You know what's my favorite fact about that?
What?
Everyone else is choreographed. All his shit on the spot.
Well, I mean, he's Blade, so... He comes out
and he's doing his own show.
Fuck, man. We must talk about his antics on the Blade set.
Yeah, I know. He was.
That was fucking nuts. So, okay. We disagree on General Easy. I thought he was cool. Wesley Snipes?
He has the best line in this whole film.
Which is?
Whose auntie is this?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good stuff. But I still feel that the best shit was the barbershop stuff.
Yeah.
Still.
It is. Like those characters.
Yeah, even they're good, man.
The reintroduction to the minister, the psycho priest. And,
yeah, the psycho priest in socks. In black socks. That brother's not even wearing shoes, guys. Performing a wedding ceremony. But the guy who was cast as the conference.
Mm.
What was his name? Anyway, it matters not. Mm. He apparently, when he was a lighty, he would record those barbershop scenes, audio of that barbershop scenes onto his family's answering machine. So whenever someone would phone, they would just hear this barbershop talk. I thought that was funny.
Did you hear what Eddie's original idea for this film was?
No.
During his... And it's the reason Tracy Morgan's involved. So,
he wanted Tracy Morgan to be the prince.
Son. Yes, he loves his son. They stood next to each other and they're like, fuck,
we're the same age. Arsenio actually convinced him not to, because Arsenio was like, this is not going to work.
He was convinced.
Yeah, because he was like, nah, man, he's funny. He'll make it work. Ridiculous.
That's crack, man.
Are we going to go into stupid spoilers?
Yeah.
Unnecessary. Just hold on. In the end, the prince is his actual son. He gets married to the hairstylist. Mm-hmm. He returns to Zamunda, but then becomes like the ambassador to America.
Yeah.
And then
Eddie realizes that actually he can change the rules.
Yeah, because he's the fucking king. And so his daughter does become his successor.
You know what I think was really wasted?
What?
The fact that Lisa McDowell and Prince Akeem have absolutely no chemistry in this remake.
I know. She just cucks him out.
But I feel like the whole focus of the original was like them getting together, their relationship, and then nothing in this one.
Yeah, because I feel like he was distant and elsewhere.
Yeah.
And she was just there.
He was totally changed, right?
Yeah.
All his motivation.
She doesn't have dialogue in like the first, if I remember correctly, she doesn't speak for
her. She doesn't do much throughout.
Yeah, no, but in the end, when she now becomes friends with Leslie Jones's character, then she does sort of have more to say.
But even then she's still like kind of outshone because Leslie Jones is just
so bombastic
and dominating.
Telefantastic. Get me on my back, she says, I'm Mr. Romante. What happened to Shaggy?
You want
to
take our pants off now?
Mine already off. No, I'm kidding. Not yet.
Sulky trunks
with Looney Tunes. I was just left underwhelmed. And I had such high hopes because everyone was returning and
everyone was there. Good choice in director.
Yeah. And everyone, I don't feel like anyone like sort of didn't put in the effort.
But it's a poor
story.
It's
the script, yeah.
It's a poor story. Like you said, it felt like a cash grab.
It was definitely
a
cash grab.
There was actually no real... I think the idea that we just came up with now might have made for a much more interesting story.
Because even Samuel L. Jackson was supposed to come back.
Really?
Yes, they were going to highlight that Brad's still robbing... still robbing fucking fast food joints.
Robbing motherfucking shops in those motherfucking Queens.
Yeah, but I was also missing.
Mm.
The R rating.
I know. Particularly because I went from watching the sequel to the original.
Oh, is that what
you
did?
I watched it that way.
You crazy.
No, man.
Like, yeah.
It's so much funnier when they can drop the F-bombs. Yeah,
Queens is supposed to be this place of, you know, New Yorkers.
Mm.
Where they like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they tough.
Yeah. And I expected that. But when he goes back, it's just this...
It's all gentle.
Nerfed. This nerfed bullshit.
It's all been gentrified.
So I hate that. I really wanted some swear words. You know.
It makes a huge difference.
And it'll make it feel a little bit more connected to the first one.
Exactly.
So, like I said, Samuel Jackson was supposed to come back. The scene set in Zamunda... They were all filmed in the Atlanta area.
Mm.
And specifically, the Zamundan Royal Palace was shot entirely on an estate.
Jermaine Dupri's.
Rick Ross.
Because
Rick Ross is in the film.
Yes.
Rick Ross, the boss, is in the film. And then Eddie Murphy said, I quote, yeah, his house is so big, we literally were able to dress it and make it look like a palace. That stuff you see where I'm walking on the African plain and there's antelopes running, that's Rick Ross's backyard. He has like 300 acres or something. Arsenio will add it. And a lake. Do you have a lake?
From prison warden to having his own lake.
That's nuts, right? Yo, Rick Ross the boss, my bro. Also, he was wearing a crown in the final scene where he was in. Did you notice that?
Ooh.
Rick Ross.
Yes.
Why?
Because he's a boss.
No, but he's not the king of anything. Prince Hakim is the only king. Also, the General Izzy's, his country is called Nextdoria.
I didn't know that.
Did you not pick that up?
I didn't know that. No, I didn't see that. Oh, wow.
He's the leader of Nextdoria. What the... Fucking top-notch writing, my friend.
I love the casual child soldier vibes as well. Like,
yeah, I was like, this, he's teaching the kids, and I was like, this is like Blood Diamond, child rebel and soldier
that,
shit. This.
Wasn't there that, what is that Netflix film that also had?
With Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Fuck, Beast of No Nation.
Yes. Real cash, bro. Real cash.
They were loosey-goosey with it. This film had a cross promotion with Amarula. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the South African liqueur brand Amarula. But Eddie Murphy does not drink alcohol.
Drunk elephant.
According to him, it makes him throw up.
Okay.
My thing is, I think you're drinking a bit too much.
Maybe. After like the 12th year, just
take it easy. This one is gonna piss you off, I think, if you don't know this already. Yeah. So, Eddie said that the sequel came about after attempts to turn the first film into a play fell through.
What?
Then, someone came to him with a pitch for a sequel. Mm. Do you know who that person was?
Arsenio?
Keep in mind. So, this person came to him with a pitch for a sequel, and Eddie didn't like it.
Okay.
Ryan Coogler.
Really?
Yes.
What? Yo, do not besmirch the name of Ryan Coogler.
He's like... After Creed,
everything else he's done as well, like Fruitvale Station.
Gold, bruh, gold. And he comes to you for that with an idea for a sequel. Now, you know, he only has ideas for things. This is how I picture him. He could not work like this at all, but in our imagination, Ryan Coogler, he only has
good ideas,
great ideas, and solid ideas, and that's when he writes a sequel.
He knows how to do a legacy sequel.
100%. 100%.
Even though I don't think it's a legacy.
It's a legacy sequel. Let's take this offline. Fucking Jody.
Ross, can we take this to a separate Zoom room, please?
Yes. So when he comes to you, I don't understand how you don't like the idea. I think maybe he chose a path for a character that Eddie didn't like or something like that.
But I think Eddie looks like the type where if you get him on a bad day,
possibly.
Your game will be out good. He'll just be like, nah.
Fuck, man. One thing I wanted to talk about. In the original film, when Eddie and Arsenio is walking into the club, there's a song playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called I Got It.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sung by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, but he's got a couple of albums out.
There's only one song that you should care about from Eddie Murphy, and it's called Party All the Time.
Oh, from Dreamgirls.
No, it's not from Dreamgirls. It's from the 80s. She likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. It's like a fucking 80s pop hit.
It sounds like it.
Shit. If you've got time, just Google Eddie Murphy Party All the Time.
That's a hot tip.
I love it when he like does random cack, like singing and shit. But anyway.
He's so talented.
Hakim and Semi are leaving their royal limousine, right, in that scene. There's a McDonald's poster hanging in the background, and it's advertising Real Big Mac with seeds. And I actually like the callback because Cleo McDowell says, we call ours the McFlurby, and we put our toppings at the bottom.
Oh, that old report thing was just genius.
Was genius.
And McDowell's does make it back because they've got a Zamunda branch now.
Yeah,
they got with everyone, including that Louis Anderson. He's back.
Everybody's there. I was like, yo, it's a bit ridiculous.
Do you know what's the most random return for me out of the whole thing? Garcelle Bouvard.
Yes, she didn't even have a speaking role.
She was
just came back.
And she came back.
But at least he changed that rule because they didn't throw any rose petals, but they were still holding them.
Yeah, but so she was just here to.
I know, and she's like a legit actress.
Yeah.
She like made a career for herself.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to Jenna, like, you remember the Jamie Foxx show?
Yeah. I used to love Jamie Foxx show. You remember when he used to go. In your face.
And he was a jingle writer.
He was a jingle writer. Fuck, that was a good show. That Martin Fresh Prince.
No, the black comedic shows from like the early 90s.
Class, bro. Okay, well, this is a bicycle battle. Mm. And you know, that means...
There has to be a winner.
There has to be a winner. And
I think it's clear.
Yeah. It's Cleo McDowell. He's the winner.
Coming to America.
It's McDowell's. McDowell's is the real winner. No, it's definitely Coming to America from 1998.
Definitely the original.
The original is the best one out of the two. Okay, so this one is a clear cash grab. Mm-hmm. The story's not that great.
It's not that funny.
Yeah, it's not that funny. It's more ridiculous than funny and a little bit cringy at times.
Yeah.
So I do suggest you revisit the first one. If you want to watch the new one, watch it, but mm-hmm. just be prepared.
It's going to be kind of disappointing.
It's going to be disappointing. But like with all these things, whenever there's a sequel or remake or whatever, people always want to shit the bed about it.
Yeah.
You still have the original.
Yeah.
You can still go back and watch the original.
The sequel doesn't have to exist.
No, you can literally forget about it. Just go back and watch it. Forget about it. Forget about it. A Mickey Blue reference there. So yeah, clear winner,
clear.
1988. Mm-hmm. Now we can go on with our lives. Fuck up. Jody, we haven't done this in a while, but do you have any shout out?
Sure.
I will shout out Casual Dog Podcast.
Yeah.
He's been talking to us, mm-hmm. and we talk to him on like Instagram and stuff, and he seems like a fan. Also, I do try and search for your podcast, but you don't have an episode
Get that episode out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll also shout out one of our new followers, Kids Eat Toast Podcast.
Kids Eat Toast Sometimes. Kids Eat Toast Sometimes. I would love to ask him if that's where you got it from. From Kids Eat Ghosts. From the... Kid Cudi Kanye West?
I don't TikTok, no.
It's not on TikTok. It's literally an album. Okay. Kanye West and Kids. Fuck. How are we friends? Kids Eat Toast Sometimes. Anyway. Yeah. Shout outs to them.
Go and give their content a listen as soon as Casual Talk Podcast gets his stuff out.
Yeah. Get your episode out, bro. We'll support you, bro.
Very good stuff.
Oh, wait. I want to learn about NFTs and
Yeah, man.
If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They can do it on Instagram, Bicycle Wrestle Podcast on Instagram. Go and comment on the post. Let us know who do you think won this battle. Do you disagree with us? Do you agree with us? Mm. You're going to agree with us.
You will agree with us.
There's no twist.
Unless you're like on the spectrum.
No. If you're on the spectrum, write us an email detailing why.
Yo, they're going to come for us. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding.
Detailing why we are wrong.
Shit.
Hit us up at bicycobrasa@gmail.com.
Salute. Stay safe, everybody. Mm-hmm. Safe, Jody.
Safe for us.
Which one is the stop button? It's left.
Press this.